Turn in your Bibles tonight to John, the 11th chapter. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And then we see here in John chapter 11, verse 43. Well, let's go ahead and go back up to 38. I love this story about Lazarus being dead. Then Jesus came groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hands and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Now, we have a story of Jesus Christ raising someone from the dead. Of all the miracles that we find in the Bible, it's just amazing. I think these miracles of raising someone from the dead are the most powerful, I believe, for an example for us. In Luke 7:15, we see, it says this, "And he came and touched the open coffin." This is about the widow of Nain. "And said, Young man, I say to you, arise. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. And fear came upon all. And they glorified God, saying, A great prophet has risen among us. And God had visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding regions." And in 8:54, yes, we see the raising of a little girl. In 54 it says, "And he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, Little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat." It's just a beautiful passage of scripture where we see new life in Christ Jesus. I want to thank you for coming up here in front. Try this Wednesday night. All right, I know Brother Perry would love to teach the people that are up here towards the front. It's good. You know, you and I used to be in the same condition. Spiritually, we were dead before we were saved, weren't we? The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were dead spiritually. However, when 1979, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was quickened. I was made alive to Christ. And, you know, that was a whole new life for me. So we see in these three passages that I read tonight, Jesus Christ raising someone from the dead. Now, these are miraculous miracles and experiences here. He performed many miracles like hearing, giving sight to the blind, the lame were made to walk. But these three miracles of people being raised from the dead. All four Gospels give us an account of miracles. But the greatest to me, I believe, is when he raised these from the dead. Now, Lazarus, I read about Lazarus. We know that one pretty much. We've heard about it many times in our life. You know, we hear preachers preach on Lazarus being raised from the dead and the resurrection and the life and things like that. He had been dead for 4 days. And when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," out of that tomb he walked. Now, folks, that is a miraculous miracle. And then he took the daughter of Jairus's by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." And she stepped out of death back into life. That's a miraculous miracle. And the widow of Nain, the little boy, he took this little boy and said, "Arise." And man, what a miracle. Now, if I was thinking of the miracles, I would think of the curing of leprosy was a great miracle that he did with the nine. But to raise someone from the dead, how much greater could that be? A miraculous experience. Now, as a born-again believer, I believe God has done many great works. But you know, when I was born again, that was a miraculous cure in my life. My sins were forgiven. And if you've been born again, your sins are forgiven. You know, it would be one of the greatest or the greatest day in my life. Think about it. In your life, what is the greatest day? If you've been saved, it's probably that day of salvation. You know, I can think of a lot of great days. You know, when I got married, when I graduated, you know, whatever. But the greatest day is when Christ came into my life. Now, if I believe, if you went around to Lazarus and you interviewed him and you said, "Lazarus, what is the greatest thing day in your life?" He'd probably tell you, "You know, well, I was dead 4 days, and Jesus called my name, and I came out of death back into life." That would probably be his experience of a miraculous experience. He'd probably say, "That is a great day in my life." If you ask that widow of Nain about her little boy that she was going to bury, you ask him, "Son, what is the greatest day in your life?" He would say, "You know, I was dead, but now I'm alive because Jesus Christ called my name." And folks, let me tell you something. I was dead in my trespasses and sin spiritually. I was on the fourth row on the left-hand side of Eastside Baptist Church, and I heard God call my name. And I could sing, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. It was a burden lifted off my shoulders when I stepped out by faith and came to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, that was a great day and a marvelous experience, a momentous experience also. Can you imagine how these three must have felt in life when they walked around? You know, they died again, but let me tell you something. Every time, I just imagine Lazarus walked by that tomb, he probably thought, "You know, I used to be in there, but I'm alive now." Every time that widow and that son walked past that graveyard, she probably thought, "Oh, my son's alive because of Jesus Christ." And every time I enter the church, and every time I drive down the road, and every time I meet a lost person on the street, I thank God for my salvation. You see? And the eternal life Ere since that day I forget how it goes. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the blood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, let me tell you something. That is a marvelous, momentous experience in a person's life when they are saved. May 5th, 1975. 79, I was called to preach, another great experience in my life. I never shall forget that day when Jesus Christ gave me a new life. I once was dead, but now I'm alive spiritually. Oh, I was alive physically, but you know, I was still dead. I said sometime a while back, preaching on being Ephesians, I believe it was, we're walking around, a lot of people walk around that are dead. Spiritually, they're dead. They're lost. If they die, they'll spend an eternity lost. But oh, when Christ saves their life, they become alive physically. Lazarus was dead, the Bible says, 4 days. And not only that, the Bible tells us that he was bound even when he came out of the grave. He was bound by the grave clothes. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And he said, let him loose. Unbind him. Let him loose. His life was changed, altered. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. We're all made new. Those old things are passed away. Salvation brings us out of that tomb of sin, out of that death, and sets us free. Our lives are completely altered by this new life in Christ. I don't know if we sing that song very much or not. Back years ago, we used to sing these old hymns. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know that? Hard to sing that without somebody playing it. And the dark clouds of doubt, now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. That's a beautiful song, folks. How's it been since Jesus came into your heart? Was it a great day for you? Was it a life-changing experience being released from the sins that wrapped us up and bound us up and chained us up? It's an altered life, you see. We're not the same old person we used to be. But you know what? There's something else about being alive in Christ. We have a new appetite. I'm not talking about a physical appetite. I've always had one of those. But you know, we have a new appetite. Luke 8:54-55, when Jesus commanded the daughter to rise, you know what the first thing he said? Give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. Have you ever thought about that? Her physical hunger was a sign of a physical life, wasn't it? Dead people are not hungry. But when you're hungry, you're alive. And may I say that a spiritual hunger is a sign of a spiritual life. When people really love God and really want to grow and really want to be alive, we have a hunger for the spiritual things of God. I've got a hunger for His Word. You know, boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to get back on Wednesday night. Love the teaching of the Bible. It doesn't matter who teaches as long as the Bible is being taught. His Word, you know, I love the fellowship. I think some of you do too. We love the fellowship with God's people, don't we? It's just something we enjoy. Some people get up and say, oh no, it's Sunday morning. No, I enjoy it. I say, oh, thank you, Lord, for another day, another Sunday, when I can go see my family, my Christian family, my church family. There's activity here in this place on Sunday morning. You know, I get up here early, and Brother Bill and I and Brother pray and we I know his name, Ronnie, Brother Ronnie. We get up here and pray and we start our day off, and Ronnie said, "How come other people don't pray, preacher, this morning?" I said, "Well, I hope they do. You know, but I don't know why people don't come and pray, but maybe they will come. We'll continue to pray at 9 o'clock, and if you'd like to join us at 9 o'clock, it's just a little change in lifestyle. You have to get up a few minutes early. It's all right. It don't hurt you at all to get here a little early and pray for the activities of the church, just a short prayer time." But there's activity in life. And when Jesus spoke to the boy, he set up. The first thing he did was set up and begin. The Bible says to speak. You see, there's activity there. Heard this story, and I may have told it. But one thing about growing older, you can tell the same jokes, and you don't remember you told them. But there's a preacher preaching a funeral, and he said, someone asked him, said, "Preacher, what do you want somebody to say about you when they're preaching your funeral?" And he says, "He's moving." That would be good, wouldn't it? Just a matter of where you spend an eternity, wouldn't it? You know, dead people don't move, do they? Dead people don't move. A new life in Christ always speaks of a result of activity in your life. I can remember when Christ came into my life. You know, I told my brothers and sisters. I went and told my father, and I went and told mother. And you know, they didn't go to church with us at that time. They were still at Recklaw, and they went to the church over there. And I had started going to Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk, where Ron and I had moved, and we were married over there. And you know, I still tell people. You know, I want people to know. I don't want to act like a corpse. I want people to know that I'm alive in Christ Jesus. And then there's the effects of a new life that we see here. It brought praise to the Lord. In Luke 7, I read it a while ago, they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen up among us, and God hath visited his people." If you're not giving a right testimony for God, are you really alive? Little question to ask yourself. Are you really alive if you're not giving the right testimony about God? How many people have you told this week about God? Or how many people will you tell next week about God? How many people will you meet? You see, each new life is a testimony of God's grace in our life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but what now? I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The people it brought to the Lord, John 11:45, the words many, many were saved. Many were there at Mary and Martha's place. They came to Jesus. He said, "Mary, our Father, I thank you that you've already heard me, and I know that you're always hear me, but because of what? The people. Because of the people who are standing here by, I say this, that they may believe." You drive down the highway, and what do you see? You see billboards, advertisements. They're advertising, and I like that one that says, "Does advertising work?" Just did. You see, businesses advertise. Churches advertise. We have a sign out there that's telling about the upcoming things in our church and who we are and welcome home and how hot it is. And you know, all of them kind of things. But the greatest spiritual billboard that persons can see is the Christians inside that church with a new life in Christ. They meet us on the street. Let me ask you a question and we'll be dismissed. Have you been changed? Have you been changed? The Bible says in Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened from the dead and made alive to Christ." If you've never experienced that life-changing that comes by faith in Christ, then you're still dead. You're still dead. And if you're alive, the old saying, is there enough evidence in your life to convict you for being a Christian? There's not in many of our churches, are there? People see one another and they wonder, are we Christians? They ought not have to ask that. That ought to be the first thing you tell them. Something about your life and about Christ in your life. And so many times we pass that up, don't we? I've been guilty of it. You've been guilty of it. Let's don't be guilty of it. Let's tell people that we have a new life in Christ. We are alive spiritually now in Christ. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that if there's someone here that doesn't know you or someone needs to make a commitment to you, Lord, let us make those decisions. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.